Yes, hello Gristlers. We're back again for another week here, locked up in the Gristle, down in the dungeons. How are you going? We're doing okay. We're doing okay. We're managing through it. Looking at what's been happening in the wonderful world of politics around our great state. This great city of ours in Sydney, locked up, locked down. Stay tuned. Yeah, Gristlers, great to have you back for another week here on the Gristle. Gosh, another week of sitting around trying to do Zoom meetings, trying to just, you know, what can we have for dinner tonight? What is left? How much frozen peas can you have? I don't know. I've had a lot of frozen peas lately. That's all I'm saying. But look, we're here with a great group here on Zooming in from various parts of the world. Gosh, now who have we got? Tintin, welcome to the Gristle. Of course, you're talking to, who are you talking to? Starvin Marvin, I think, aren't you? Tintin, are you there?
Yeah, Tintin's here. Tintin in the inner west, still in the inner west.
He is.
Not going anywhere.
Good to see you. And we've got Putin's bride. Are you on the line there, Putin?
Bonjour.
Bonjour. We've got warm lettuce. Warm lettuce, all chopped up and ready to go.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, excellent. And of course, up in the tropical north, we have Stormin Norman. Stormin.
Good evening, Starvin.
Good evening. Oh, good to see you all. Gosh, I'm sorry. I haven't got a camera. You can see my ugly mush. Nevertheless, here we are now. While I've got you there on the screen, Stormin, perhaps I don't know whether you've had a chance to have a look at Dominic Perrottet running around talking to various people in the media, that if we had another lockdown previously, I think it was on Sky News maybe, Kerry Chadd should get a pay cut. That's a bit rough, isn't it?
Oh no, I think it's quite an interesting idea, and perhaps one that should be considered more broadly. I think the point that the state treasurer was trying to make was that if the chief health officer is wrong, and she advises a lockdown that turns out to be unnecessary, then she should suffer the consequences and take a pay cut. And I think that's quite appropriate. I think if any leader makes a mistake, they should get their pay cut, and then that should go for treasurers as well.
Well, the treasurer certainly has had a bit of an interesting time over the last year with his intervention in superannuation schemes and these sorts of things. So I don't know how much money he'd have left in his pay packet, would he? How much would he have going for him if that was the case? But, warm lettuce, what do you think of this motivational scheme?
Oh, look, I completely agree with our friends from the Northern Rivers. I think there's a lot of coalition MPs that should absolutely be taking pay cuts right now. I mean, a bunch of them were arguing that we should just learn to live with the virus. But I think, as with every good government policy, you need a pilot first, right? A test. So I think we should round up the coalition MPs and then send them overseas to the most COVID-riddled place you can find. And if they can live with it, then maybe so can we.
But warm lettuce, what if we end up here in Sydney being the most COVID-ridden place in the land?
Island. Yeah.
No, I don't know. I think we'll probably come down from here. I know the figures weren't great today.
96, 97 total.
Yeah, but look, I think we're probably starting to tap out here. We'll start to get down. So, yeah, Jake's aside, it is still pretty messy outside, and I wouldn't actually want to send coalition MPs overseas. Although, you know, it does need to be sensed that we have certain Labor premiers that are very keen to go overseas to advocate for Brisbane to hold specific international
sporting events. Yeah.
So there is a desire to go overseas that I just don't understand. I'm quite happy here.
You're quite happy.
There's some advice coming from a bit further north, up in Queensland, suggesting this is a Burks or Fauci moment with Dr. Champ. The choice between taking Dr. Fauci's road of saying it like it is, despite Trump, enormous pressure and looming over, or taking the Dr. Burks road of agreeing that injecting yourself with sunshine and disinfectant is a good solution.
I'd like to point out that your compatriots in Moscow, he was very keen to inject his own daughter.
Oh, well, so I don't know. Speaking of that, I don't know who leaked the story about Putin trying to get Trump elected. I don't know if you saw that, but that was in The Guardian. I don't know who leaked it, but they've got some radiation coming their way, I think.
Oh, it was probably Trump who leaked it.
Just leaked it. Look what I did.
Trying to get attention again.
Exactly. What does Kevin Rudd call it? It's a disorder. Attention.
Relevant deprivation syndrome.
Do you think that's what inspired ScoMo to get on the radio and talk about shitting his pants?
Yeah, probably. But he's been avoiding the media for so long. Actually, if ScoMo wants to get a really great run, what he needs to do is come down on Friday at 6:30 to join us here on the Gristle.
An open invitation we have. Yep.
An open invitation. I don't know why he doesn't reply.
Yeah, because our broadcast quality is quite high in the Sutherland Shire.
We can actually do it from Engadine Macca's.
Oh, that's true.
Special episode in the car park.
I'm having enough trouble broadcasting here as it is, let alone going down to the car park.
The rest of us could go there and zoom in.
Oh, no. Oh, look. I'm sorry. That's just a bit beyond my technical... Well, most things are a bit beyond my technical capabilities, come to think of it. In fact, we're still missing a vital member of the panel today, but nevertheless, at some point we might have Trudette, dialing in. Who knows? Tintin, we didn't actually get your feelings on the motivational program for... health professionals and of course our erudite politicians. What do you think?
Look, I think it's the most brutal performance review I've ever heard. Imagine tying health department employees' wages to how many cases are in any given week. It's absolutely absurd. I think it's going to be applied the way I agree it should be applied, government way too. But I just want to jump back to the story about Queensland. My God, the idea that amidst all this, that premier people are looking at running overseas. I don't know how Queensland can talk about hosting any major sporting events in the Performance and Origin the past couple of weeks, including Wednesday night.
They did win one.
No, there were 6-6 again calls. That was not a real Origin match. Come on. At 18-20. It took them three games to score.
You think it was a bit of a fixed match? Is that what you're saying? I wonder if Across the Park will agree with you in the next program.
I'll be honest, coming from New South Wales, as I think we all are, I feel like we should keep a little bit more low profile on these kind of State of Origin issues.
Yes.
I'm picking up distinct vibes of a willingness to invade New South Wales from many other states.
Mm.
Well,
Victoria, they're not happy with us down there.
No, well, I was just going to bring that up. That's a very good segue, the warm lettuce, because we have now a 5-day lockdown in Venice of the South, and apparently people aren't happy with us up here in New South Wales. Is that what you're hearing, warm lettuce?
They're fuming. I think, we've gotten used to people talking about how Australia should invade New Zealand, and I feel like that's an understandable sentiment. I mean, constitutionally, we're halfway there anyway. But now I think people are starting to think they should invade New South Wales. They're unhappy. They want to impose Daniel Andrews as the new premier so that we can get this lockdown under control. But I actually have a bit of faith that Gladys will get us there. Actually, I don't. I just thought we needed some balance on the show. I
can I say I'm absolutely in favor of the idea of Victoria invading New South Wales. I don't know if you've ever actually driven across the border where Wentworth is, west of Albury. You go out to Horsham. And you drive. There's all these little spots. You drive back and forth across the border.
Albury.
And the Victorian side of the border. Albury Wodonga, yeah.
Albury.
Oh, my God. Okay, yeah. I'm from the inner west. Sue me.
Yes.
And now
your writ is in the mail.
You drive across the border. The Victorian side is so much better maintained. There are flowers. It's beautiful. You know you're in the great state of Victoria. And if this sort of maintenance would come across the way to New South Wales, then I'm all fine with the, hay and all these places being part of the Great Republic of Dan Andrews.
Well, so what we have to do is just stick in a few geraniums and everything's going to be better, is it?
Oh, at least it'll be nice to look at. Give it a try. I mean, as long as we get Daylesford and Castlemaine, all these pretty towns in our state.
Well, you're the farthest one away up there, Stormer Norman. What do you think? Do you think 5 days of lockdown is going to be enough for Melburnians? How many lattes can they miss in that time?
What I'm worried about is just how angry they're going to be when they come out. Because if it does come to war, I think we're screwed, basically. I think if the Victorians come charging over the border, over the Murray, it's going to be a little bit like Genghis Khan invading China. It's going to be brutal. And frankly, New South Wales, we might put up a bit of resistance at the start, but then we'll go, oh, screw it, let's just go to the beach. It'll be a walkover. So I think we need to prepare ourselves for a lot of angry Victorians taking out their frustrations on New South Wales over the next few weeks. Because as the other panellists have pointed out, there is a lot of blame being sheeted home to us at the moment. In fact, over the other side of the Tweed, Anastasia Palaszczuk today, I think, referred to it as the Sydney strain of the virus, which is getting out of control.
There you go.
So it's not just that they get angry as they go south, because I was noticing that there was a fair bit of anger in the other island that you're a bit familiar with there, Stormer Norman, mm-hmm. when the issue came up about a new AFL team, which the Tasmanians weren't going to be partaking of.
Oh, my gosh. You've opened a can of worms.
They got very angry, as I recall.
Very, very angry. It's a lot of anger, particularly at the AFL Commission down there for denying Tasmania their own AFL team. So, yes, if it comes... So perhaps if New South Wales was to start a war with the AFL Commission, we may have some support.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think they deserve their own AFL team.
Agreed.
I think it's absolutely time.
Of course it is. I mean, if you're going to give one to Darwin with a population half the size of Canterbury Bankstown, why shouldn't the state of Tasmania have one team between a lot of them?
Well, I guess we need to offset for the fact that they have 6 senators or whatever it is. So, they've got to have most of
them. I think Tasmania would happily trade in probably 4 or 5 senators for an AFL team.
with the level of population, there has to be some crossover between the senators and the AFL team. I mean, come on, some people just have to play for both.
In fact, Tasmania has an AFL team worth of senators at their disposal. They could field a team just made out of senators.
Well, I think if we lost the senators from Tasmania and Queensland, I don't think there'd be anything to talk about, really, because most of the colour and movement that comes into the Senate when, let's face it, after That's lunch, true. Most of the senators are having a bit of a snooze. They are the Queenslanders and the Tasmanians, so I really miss them. I would really miss them a great deal.
Becky Lambie's a Tasmanian senator. She's a bit... Let's at least keep her.
Yeah,
who was that?
Jackie Lambie.
Oh, correct.
Yes. I feel like Jackie Lambie could probably do okay on the Tasmanian AFL team as well. I think she'd hold her own. She's pretty gutsy.
Yeah, you'd play her in the middle for sure.
Well, look, now if we had to have someone to save the day, if we had to have someone to come in and sort this whole mess out, It'd have to be our former Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd, who has taken a bit earlier in the week, a lot of the kudos for bringing forward all of our Pfizer vaccines.
I just love this story.
I was just going to say, this Putin's bride, this is something right up your alley. Kevin Rudd, you know, we need him, don't we?
Absolutely. We're missing him so much. I mean, where the bloody hell are the vaccines is what I want to know. And, I mean, we've had how long to organise these? And the Prime Minister has made zero phone calls to Pfizer. He made, 55 phone calls to get his old mate a job in Europe. How many phone calls has he made to talk about shitting his pants 50 years ago on the radio? And he can't make one to secure vaccines that can prevent lockdowns in Sydney and Victoria. I mean, talk about priorities. Then along comes Kevin and solves it in a minute. And, you know, the next thing you know, in come the vaccines. And he's saying, Kevin's giving him the Pfizer CEO all these negotiating tips, saying, you know, I think if you can sort out, I heard you had some extra production in these other places. If you could bring some of that our way, I reckon Australia would be willing to buy a whole lot of, put earlier order in for a whole lot of booster shots for your next round, right? Because, I mean, we're all going to need a booster after the end of the year. And so saying, you know, you'll be able to get an early deal on those shots.
Yeah, forget about Bangladesh or anyone like that. Bring them over here.
Morrison comes out and says, oh, we're the only ones that actually were involved in the contract, obviously. But, you know, the terms of the contract were sort of made possible by Kevin Rudd's intervention. And so it's just hilarious to me that they've stuffed this up so badly. And now when we're all getting vaccinated, it'll be a big success, but they won't be able to take the credit for it. You know, it's just politically, it's hilarious.
Have we got the Pfizer boosters bought, purchased yet? Are we still not making that purchase order? Because last I checked, the European Union, Canada and America have all bought boosters, not just for 2022, but for 2023 as well. And in fact, the European Union has enough to vaccinate the entire area five times over. So they're planning to have excess that they can share and the rest. And I just feel like, what are we doing? And it's not like he can't say he can't learn from past mistakes. This is literally exactly what happened last time. So the fact that all those other places have already booked it in means that even if he calls Pfizer today, we're already at the back of the queue. So I'm piping mad about this.
Well, you know what the health minister said?
Absolutely disgraceful. I mean, can you imagine the idea that...
Sorry, we're losing you a bit there, Tintin. Maybe we go back to just in a second. We've got a good line there with Putin's bride. What's the health minister saying?
I'll just read out this quote from Greg Hunt. Right, this is the health minister being asked questions about ordering the Pfizer, and he says we got just exactly the best outcome that we were seeking on exactly the terms and on exactly the time frame. So this complete lack of vaccines that we've got right now is exactly the plan. I mean, how useless is that?
What an admission. What an admission. It's basically saying we haven't improved everything. Our last few press conferences were a lie. This was the plan all along. I mean, we knew that, but it's nice to hear them finally admit it. I just don't think they realised that that's what they were doing with that state.
I don't think so either.
Now, Tintin, have we got you back?
Absolutely obscene. I mean, can you imagine if someone came in, like you, not just the guy who had the job before you, but the guy who had your job three times before you in any industry coming in and picking up the slack? It's absurd. And a lot of the media is focused on the fact that, as an example, the Prime Minister, now the former Prime Minister of Israel, apparently called the Pfizer CEO 17 times. And this guy was facing a major corruption probe at the time, looking to be ousted. And he managed to still get on the buzzer to this guy. So it's a pretty bad look.
Yeah, but he was also on the phone to James Packer, every afternoon as well, seeing what else he could get, sent over to the back door of his house.
So So there is a devil's advocate position here that I want to raise with the rest of the panelists, see your views. Things are pretty ugly overseas, certainly in Indonesia, you know, in Papua New Guinea, in Myanmar. It's a disaster. We are still pretty safe here, and there is a finite supply of vaccines from Pfizer. So every vaccine we get sooner is potentially denying it from countries that really need it. So are we in as much of a rush as we all collectively think we are?
My view on this is our job actually is not to buy more vaccines earlier, it's to make more vaccines earlier. But we should be investing billions of dollars in getting them made here so that we can give them to other countries, not take them from other countries. Right? There's only how many countries in the world have advanced medical manufacturing facilities? We're among like the top five or six. Right? Who's going to be making them if not us? It's us, Germany, the UK, the US, Indonesia, India, and like China, Wuhan, ironically. But where, like, you know, you have advanced manufacturing for this kind of stuff. Why are we not putting, you know, the lockdowns are costing us $1 or $2 billion a week, and we can't put a single $1 billion into making these vaccines here? It's just beyond.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think Korea are also making a few vaccines too. Aren't
they? So maybe half a dozen to a dozen countries that can do it, and we're not putting any effort into it.
Well, you know, we probably should, but then if we've got Kevin Rudd, you know, do we really need that? You know, we've got Kevin Rudd. We just send him around, give him a phone card, or give him a new mobile or something, and away he goes.
Well, I think even Kevin Rudd would admit it takes a little bit more than him to, you know, make 7 billion vaccines.
So what we need to do, sorry, can I just say what we need to do is actually export Kevin Rudd to the third world. If more countries have Kevin Rudd of their own.
Yeah, that's right. That would save a lot of them. But I think it's probably a very good idea. Excellent, excellent. And we might just... We might just move on to the next very important topic of the day about who's the best medical officer, apparently, in a Melbourne program. I think it was it Norman Swan said that Brett Sutton was Australia's best health officer, and he got great cheers from the crowds.
He's probably the best looking.
Is that what it is?
Well, I mean... That's obvious to anyone, surely. I mean, you know, anyone can see that. Those nice grey hair beards. It's not too dissimilar to the charming characteristics of a former Gristle host who used to come on a lot more frequently before he had a baby.
Oh, those days. The halcyon days of yore. But come to think of it, I'd just like to put it out there, the panel of the Gristle here. Who can you recall the health officer of South Australia or Western Australia? No. I can't either.
Well, who are these people?
What about Tasmania?
Well, look at it this way. If you can remember your doctor's name, it probably means you see your doctor a lot. If you have no idea what your doctor's surname is, it means you're pretty healthy, so you should feel okay about that. And that's why we don't know what the WA Chief Health Officer's name is, because they've managed things pretty bloody well.
So maybe they're exactly the best health officers, the ones we don't see. That's a very good point.
Yes.
I think it was Nicola. Yeah, Nicola Spurrier.
She's actually
got a bit of a Brett Sutton sort of vibe, a female version. She's a bit of a female version of Brett Sutton, I guess, eh?
Oh, really?
But she was in the news quite a bit when South Australia was having problems. But Wormlet is exactly right. The reason no one knows who the Chief Health Officer of West Australia is because they haven't had an outbreak and we haven't actually needed to see them on TV. So I think the fact that everyone's talking about Brett Sutton reflects the fact that he's been on the TV so much. And is a reflection of the fact that the virus has been so has caused so much damage in Victoria, and now we're starting to get to know the Chief Health Officers of Queensland and New South Wales as well. But no one knows who it is in Tasmania either. So kudos to Western Australia and Tasmania, and perhaps they should get the gong as the best Chief medical officers.
I think you could be right there. Now, looking at Queensland, we did mention Anastasia a bit earlier and her predilection for overseas travel. Our overseas travellers that should be going, our Olympians from New South Wales, have been prevented from going to Cairns, even though they're fully vaccinated up and ready and raring to go. You know, is this fair? Warm letters.
Oh, look, I don't think half the stuff Queensland does make sense. They've banned all of Victoria, including regional Victoria, but regional New South Wales is allowed to come in. Now, if you can explain that to me, and, you know, hats off to you, but I think they just sort of make it up as they go along. But I think double vaccinated people, let them over, make them quarantine somewhere, but to not let them in when they're double vaccinated is a bit... bit sus in my books.
Yeah, Tintin, can you explain it to warm letters?
Oh, look, can you imagine telling all these people in Portland or the Cairn River or, Horsham or places like this that they can't pop in? And we're talking about a lot of communities that are a little bit more transitory, many of whom come down from North New South Wales or from Queensland times of the year, and now they suddenly can't get in. These are areas that don't have the same case numbers and don't have the same issues as other areas. And as Warm Letter said, if you are vaccinated, it presents a different scenario.
Yep. All right. Well, look, we're getting a bit to the end of the program here, and I just thought quickly we could go to you, Putin's bride, and have you been watching the Chinese who are watching us off the Queensland coast?
That spy ship they've got. I'll tell you what, if I was a Liberal MP, I'd be defecting to that Chinese spy ship, asking for asylum, especially if I was from Victoria.
Victorian Liberals.
Yeah. If I was a Victorian Liberal MP, I'd be out there saying, you know, please save me. I mean,
is the same ship that was off the West Coast, apparently. They've only got one ship.
They've got a couple, but yeah, I mean, it's fine. They're allowed to be there. It's international waters. That's what international waters mean.
So we can't sink it now.
Well, we shouldn't.
Casual war talk
yes.
Or with China.
Yeah. I
just wondering. I thought it was an idea, you know.
I don't know if we couldn't. I think we shouldn't.
Greed.
You know, it's allowed to be there. We go and watch them when they're doing stuff in international waters. They always complain about it. The fact that they rock up and do the same thing makes their complaints pretty hollow. So, you know, fine.
Fine.
So I've got a better idea. I think
think it's a good idea to keep watching them while they're watching us to make sure that's all they do. All
well, right. Assuming that they're monitoring communications, I think the real strategy, if you want them to leave, is send a sub out and then play audio of people talking about Tiananmen Square. So you watch how fast that sub turns around, right? Because they're not going to want their army to hear about that. That's all sus.
That's a very good PsyOps going on there. All right, look, I think we might just start winding things up now. I'd like to thank you, Warm Lettuce and Putin's Bride. I'd like to thank you up in the Northern Rivers there, Stormer Norman, and, of course, in the inner city, Tintin. Thank you so much for coming on. I've been Starvin' Marvin, and, of course, this is The Gristle here on 2SCR 107.3, and we've got to end things. If I get that music working.
And as is now officially recorded in the classics for occasions such as this, it really is time for me to zip.
If the end of the world was near, where would you choose to be? If there was five more air, would you?